Canadian author Nicola Zacha is my guest this week. My name is Chris Deasy. Welcome to the latest in my series of nostalgia interviews. Now, Nicola is the writer of the Adventures of Marley series of children's books. And the second installment, Marley the Dreamer, is newly released. And we learn from Nicola how it is a response to her father being diagnosed with dementia. We discover how Nicola's literary career started. She lives in Ontario, but her grandmother was born in Bournemouth in England. In her books, Nicola draws on the real-life experiences from her dad's life. She talks about how Marley touches her readers' hearts, and we learn about the influences on her writing, the importance of love, acceptance, and empathy, and how books are a good way to connect with children. Nicola reflects on how she was able to do book signings before COVID, and we learn that she used to work as an early childhood teacher, but she doesn't really want to return to that. She is enjoying keeping her father's story alive. Nicola talks about her kind teacher from England who helped her along the way, and we find out that she always liked Mr. Rogers. She loves spending her time with him every day on the television, and we learn how Nicola listens to the radio via headphones while she's out rollerblading with Marley. Now, Nicola tells us about the impact of having a dog in terms of icebreaker conversations with strangers. And I asked Nicola about the role of nostalgia. We learn about the friends she is in touch with and how Facebook helps to spread her messages of love. Then at the end of the interview, we find out why Nicola has always been looking forward while also looking back to the memories that she shared with her father. It was a great pleasure via Zoom to catch up with Nicola Zacha for the latest in my series of nostalgia interviews. My name is Chris Deasy. Well, it is my great pleasure to have Nicola Zacha for my latest nostalgia interview. And Nicola, we've only been in touch for a few weeks, but already I feel completely caught up in the adventures of Marley. Do you want to say a little bit about Marley and how integral that is to your life?
Oh, absolutely. Marley is doing great things. She just came out with her second book, Marley the Dreamer, and it's doing phenomenally well. At the Target stores and Barnes and Noble, and the library's looking at it. So I'm thrilled with Marley's success. And we have our third book coming out in July. And, you know, hopefully that will do just as well. So, and we have a coloring book coming out this month. So I'm really happy with all the success.
No, that sounds amazing. Because how did it all start for you?
Well, it started because when my dad was diagnosed with dementia, it was a very sad time because he had his license taken away and diagnosed with dementia in the same day. So that was a lot for one day. It was just too much to absorb. But so it was a very sad time. So I thought, well, I'm going to find a puppy. And my hairdresser knew a breeder that was selling puppies. So I phoned her and arranged to get a puppy. And then I went there. She lives in a beautiful farm, and I went and found Marley and brought her home, and my dad instantly fell in love with her. So it was wonderful.
And had you published anything before? So was Marley what kickstarted your
literary was, career? Yes, it really was, because Marley, I'd seen a contest on Facebook for dogs, and if the dog won, was chosen against all the other dogs, for their picture, they were going to use it for an illustration for a book. And Marley won. So it was a really big deal. I phoned the local news broadcast, and they came over and took a picture of Marley and my dad, because Marley won this competition. And so it was really big deal. So then apparently the author, wasn't going to go through with the book because the illustrator had some issues. She didn't want to do it without the illustrator. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to write a book because, you know, we're on the TV and everything and everybody's all excited. I can't back down now. So I had met the publisher through this contest, and Divya published Marley's Dream Love. Yeah. It just kept rolling like a snowball ever since.
Absolutely. And how many years ago was that?
a year ago, 2020. Yeah. 2020, Marley the Dreamer came out, which is really something with COVID. And then 2 years ago, the year before, Marley's Dream Love came out.
But because I was finding that a lot of people, celebrities and otherwise in the UK, were finding during lockdown that it was an opportunity. You know, I mean, a lot of people found that lockdown in 2020 was horribly debilitating. But yes. Also a lot of people thought, right, this is the chance to, you know, to work on that very project that had eluded them up to that point.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, books are really taking off. It's really a busy time in the book world right now.
Yeah. And do you want to say a little bit, Nicola, about where you're based? Because obviously we may not have ascertained actually that you're in Canada.
Yes. I'm in Ontario. So Lake Erie. And that's the beach that Marley and I walk on every day. So we're about 15 minutes from the beach. So we try and get down there every day, and 2 hours from Toronto and an hour from Port Huron. Yeah. So when the borders are open, we go there quite often.
But, and I know from our conversation before we started recording that you have, is it your grandmother who was born in England?
Yes, I do feel a deep connection to England because she was born from in Bournemouth, England. And they used to call her Queenie. Yeah, my mom and her sisters always called her Queenie. So yeah. I do feel a deep connection to England because I have strong roots there.
Yeah. And how did she end up in Canada?
Well, my grandfather was born in Ireland. So I guess they met somewhere there. And then land. A lot of times people came to Canada for land, for farming, because they had six children. So.
Yeah. And it's interesting because one of the things that lockdown, I think, has also brought about is this whole sort of question of, you know, what direction are we heading in, or what are our goals and values, and, you know, what are the things we've always wanted to do? But in your case, how do you feel at this stage, you know, having written these books? I'm guessing that before, say, 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been perhaps, you know, inconceivable that this would be something that you'd be doing with such aplomb.
Yes, absolutely. It just sort of fell into place naturally. And right now, it's been a big help to me in connecting with my dad, because he passed away this past December. So I feel that I'm still keeping his legacy and you know, his life. You know, I'm continuing his life, and he's touching many people through these books. So it thrills me. Nothing could make me happier.
Yeah, no, and I think also when you mentioned dementia as well, it's very difficult because I've been in touch with a few people at the moment. I don't know if you've come across the film The Father, you know, the Anthony Hopkins film, which is about dementia, and I was recommending it to a few people this week, and it was interesting how polarizing it was, because everyone was sort of, you know, that sounds like a great film, but people who'd had someone in the family who suffered from dementia were saying it's a bit raw, it's a bit difficult. You know, they'd like to watch it, but they're not ready to watch it yet. And it was very interesting to be, you know, on the one hand, you know, extolling the virtues of something, but which, you know, is going to be very painful to watch. But it sounds like in your case, you've been able to use what is obviously horrible to have a family member, a close family member suffering. But to actually find scope for being creative through the Marley book. So and your dad had obviously seen.
He did see Marley's Dream. Yes, he did. So I'm very proud of that. Yeah, he was very proud. And Marley brought so much into his life, because even people when they're in their 80s, even when they don't have dementia, a lot of times they just get ignored by society, you know, and society doesn't have time for them. And they have so much history to share and so much knowledge, you know, that is very valuable. But people connected with Marley. So when we would go shopping and my dad was holding Marley, the conversation just flowed because they wanted to know all about Marley. And my dad actually created this story that a truck was coming down the road and they threw Marley from the truck And he was a hero, and he saved Marley, and because she was just laying there, and he picked her up and saved her. So he created this story, and people love the story. They like couldn't get enough of it, so it was funny.
So when you're writing the Marley books, are you drawing on real life experiences?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it is. Yeah, and like I say, it's my dad's life and our life together, and so I'm keeping that alive, and it's being shared with all these children.
And do you think then that there's, you know, you mentioned that there's a third book in the pipeline, but do you think that this is going to continue? You know, can you imagine that this, or a variation of what you're doing, you know, has the capacity to run and run?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yes, that's the plan.
And do you get lots of feedback from readers? Because you obviously this is aimed at children, but lockdown may have made it less possible to have for example like book signings. You mentioned at the beginning how popular the books have been, but are they being do you get lots of feedback from fans?
Yes, I do. Readers? Yes, that people feel a close connection to Marley, and they really enjoy the story. And yes, so they love the pictures, and Marley really touches their heart. So I'm finding that very much. That everybody's very happy with the book.
Yeah, and is there anything, because I'm trying to think this, when I was young growing up, always sort of stories that I would always turn to as the sort of like the go-to, often like really Enid Blyton was a very obvious one, when I was growing up, or the Three Investigator series comes to mind, that was never written by Alfred Hitchcock, but it had his name attached to them. So that was, I knew Alfred Hitchcock, not through making films like Psycho or North by Northwest, but from these children adventure series. But is there anything when you're writing the Marley books, is there anything from, for example, your childhood that you're drawing on as a template?
Yes, I used to watch, when I was a little girl, I used to watch the Pokey Puppy, and she looked like Marley. She had these big brown eyes, and I love the Pokey Puppy. She's just so cute and lovable, and it kind of backfired because my mom would call me Pokey. My parents would say, you're Pokey, so, which means you need to hurry up, but in a school morning or whatever. So but that always stuck with me, and that's what I hope that Marley will be for lots of children, that Marley is a pokey puppy that is very lovable and makes them happy.
And do you find that as you're writing, are you always doing lots of different drafts? Does it flow very easily? Do you kind of feel that you know what the story is going to be before you start? I don't know if you do it on a computer, or you do illustrations, or you do it by pen, but
yes.
What's the process of writing the Marley books?
Yes, it comes right from my heart, and it is my life, my dad and Marley's life story. So it's based, it's fictional. So that part of it is very easy to share because it's our life, and it comes right from my heart. And Marley's message is consistent with all the books. Is love and acceptance and empathy. So with those feelings, you just put them down on paper, and the story evolves.
Yeah. And in terms of the journey for you, so I'm guessing that you grew up in Canada as well, but
yes, I did.
Is there anything, in terms of earliest memories or when you were growing up, which may or may not have involved, I don't know if you had pets, for example, but is there anything from childhood that you sort of look back on and sort of think, oh, this is why I'm here today? Anything that's particularly followed you through your life?
Yes. I always liked writing my feelings down. I've always done that. So, and I've always found books a way to connect with children. There's a lot of children that are extremely bright, and sometimes that's hard to connect with them, just like on a regular conversation, because their mind is going so many different places. But with a book, you can connect with them, because they have that thirst for knowledge and special needs too. Children, they love the connection with books and pictures, and
yeah,
I find that is universal for children, books.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because I've got young children who I will read to sometimes of an evening, and it's remarkable, really. Because of course, they're very good sometimes at connecting the pictures with the words. Whereas, I'm obviously interested in making sure that they can read well. But they're on it. And if I'm honest, I sometimes switch off a bit because obviously the stories are aimed at children. But it's interesting what they pick up on, and they pick up on more than I do, because sometimes they're following all these threads through, whereas I'm just sort of, half, perhaps maybe I shouldn't be admitting that, but you're right that they really do pick up on this. And do you do the illustrations yourself?
Yes, they're all pictures of our life. Yes.
So what that's brilliant. So you've got the pictures, you've got the words, and you just like a perfect sort of recipe, because I may write books, but I certainly can't do children's books, and it's just, and the real pleasure I think that children have from reading, which obviously I write to, it's a different sort of constituency. But do you ever have you had a chance to do things like book signings so far? Maybe lockdown has curtailed that.
Before COVID, my dad, Marley, and I would go and do book signings. So that was fun. It was like a little event for us. So, but now with COVID, people are a little skeptical, a little nervous. And so we're just doing online and, reaching out to places to do Zoom calls or FaceTime.
And I know that you've been doing a lot of these sort of interviews internationally, but has Mali been translated into other languages?
It can be. Actually, I had a friend that's in business herself and does skincare. And she said, anytime you want Marley's books to be translated, she has that capability. So, she's done that for her products before. So that's definitely something that I will be looking into.
Do you find, I mean, what about other interests? Because when I was growing up, looking back, I'm not sure I read as much as I would perhaps encourage my own students to do, my own children to do. But what about influences, whether music or film? Was there anything that you can sort of look back on? Because obviously you've got this talent for writing, but is that where you necessarily would have expected that you'd end up now in your life? What are the great sort of influences?
Well, yes, it kind of evolved naturally. Like I say, it just all came into place at the right time. But originally, I was always babysitting to begin with. And so that was the path I followed. And then I became an early childhood teacher and taught in the daycares. And so, which it all led to the book too, because I, had all this experience with children. So I could relate to what children enjoyed and what their passions were. So
Yeah,
that's
and
all
do you
part of the book.
absolutely. I was going to say, so do you still do that, or is that something that you'll return to doing in terms of childhood teaching?
I don't think so. Right now, it's really difficult with COVID. And I think I really love this part of my life right now, the books and sharing Marley's message and my dad's life and keeping his story alive. And, so yeah, I think I'm just going to really focus on that and creating more books.
Yeah, because I'm really, because it's interesting what COVID has done, because I've met so many people through the university I went to many years ago now, and we have a book group every month, and it's somebody who went to that university who has like written a book, in the last however many years. And it's interesting meeting people who sort of, like, one of them did a creative writing degree in the 1980s, and it was always her dream, to write. But I think she was in her well into her 50s, and she thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I can't keep putting it off. And so she, I mean, this was nothing to do with COVID, but it was during COVID that we were having this conversation. And she set herself a goal that when she reached a certain age, whatever it was, she said, she was going to stop her business, but then said, right, I'm going to write which is my passion. And now she's got her first novel out in the next few weeks. And wow. I just thought how inspiring that was, because, you know, I think we've all got this in us. And I think you've proven that you know, there's something, and often it's circumstances that you can never anticipate, but something happens and you say, okay, this is the moment. So is that what's happened largely?
And that's what happened with me too. Yes. Because when my dad was diagnosed with dementia, I took a leave of absence to take care of him. And because he never wanted to be in a nursing home, and I never wanted that for him. I remember the doctor saying, well, you need to look at nursing homes. And I said, no, he will be fine. I will take care of him. Just, and it, that came very naturally because he always had taken care of me. And still does. And still watching over us and helping us create many stories. And so with me taking care of him for 4 years, my certificate had expired. So I would have to go and take all the courses all over again. And that's very timely and very expensive. So the books are, you know, what is my job now.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's opened up a new, well, to use a literary analogy, a new chapter in your life.
But yes, exactly.
Yeah, and are there any, Nicola, any particular sort of inspirations in terms of maybe teachers that you had who have and I don't know if you're still in touch with people who are along, you know, along the way, but who've like really encouraged you to do something like this? So was it, do you kind of feel that you're now doing what you'd, you know, circumstances aside that you couldn't have anticipated, you're kind of now doing your dream job?
Yes, I did. Actually, I had a teacher from England, and she was very inspiring. I remember her, Mrs. Joan, her name was, and she was always very kind and really encouraged my loving kindness spirit. And so I think with that encouraged, that helped lead to the book too, to share that message of love and kindness. And I had another teacher, Mrs. Reekirk, and she was very kind to me. So that definitely made a difference that, you know, I could see that kindness and love and that wanted me to share it with other people too.
Absolutely. And do you find as well that when you're, when you've been teaching over the years, do you, you know, are you aware of the impact? You know, I find it very hard. You know, I've been in my present job for 17 years, so I'm aware of that's like a generation. But in your case, are you still in touch with many of those, presumably now not so young, pupils that you've taught over the years and had a similar kind of, made a similar impression on them?
Yes. I find that very rewarding because the children that I've either taught in the daycare or babysat for have done extremely well. And, you know, they're going off to universities and they're all very gifted, and I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, and I guess in that sense, with the Marley books as well, it must be when it comes to Christmases or birthdays, I guess that it's the perfect gift.
Oh, it is. Yes, yes, it really is. It really fits for any child. So you know, it's a perfect gift for anyone.
Yeah. And what about in terms of some of the other sort of influences? I grew up, you know, so interested in radio, so interested in having the radio on. And even to this day, all these decades on, you know, I can still remember the programs, the music, the presenters that really inspired me. Do you have any similar sort of memories or experiences growing up?
Yes, I always liked Mr. Rogers, and he's about love and kindness. Yeah, so when I think back in the programs I watched, they definitely shared that message of love.
Yeah. Is that now that's Mr. Rogers that Tom Hanks portrayed, is that right? In a recent film?
Yes.
I thought that was a beautiful, of course it got the word beautiful. Is it a beautiful day in the neighborhood or something similar to that?
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah. So that was a very good portrait of him. You know, he portrayed him very well.
And I think what worked as well in that portrait, because obviously I don't know as much about Mr. Rogers as obviously you do, but what I thought was really good is that it's that film kind of came across as an attempt to try and sort of say, you know, what is Mr. Rogers like when he's off camera? Is he a really nice guy? And of course, surprising to the and the author was this cynical man who was like, oh, I'm going to deconstruct him. I'm going to, you know.
Right.
And he proved that Mr. Rogers really was this really nice guy who kind of knew what he was doing. You know, he was aware of this image he was cultivating, but it was a really authentic one. And so Tell me a bit more about Mr. Rogers, because it sounds as though there's definitely a link between Mr. Rogers and what you're doing with the Marley books in terms of this beautiful kind of sense of safety, really, that's exhibited.
Yes. Mr. Rogers invited me into his world, into his house every day. And I just felt so excited every day to, you know, spend that time with him. And, you know, he had this very soft voice and, you know, very welcoming. And he just, you know, felt like I could talk to Mr. Rogers anytime. And, you know, he'd be very accepting and kind and loving. And that's what I want children to feel when they're reading Marley's books, that Marley's there for them with all this love and kindness.
Yeah. And in that sense, do you, so in terms of like role models, do you find that you're going maybe to other writers? Obviously, your dad was obviously a huge role model for you. And you mentioned Mr.
Rogers.
Yes,
he was. But he was always loving. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about other sort of soundtracks of your life? Because I mentioned radio there as well. But, you know, is there any particular sort of like music that would sometimes, I don't know, when you're writing, for example, whether you're somebody who has music on in the background, but is there any sort of like go-to music that really accompanies you and generates the right kind of mood for when you're doing your writing?
I like most kinds of music. And Marley, well, I usually put my radio headset like, dated way back, like, you know, and they said, oh my goodness, friends were saying yesterday, oh my goodness, they found my radio and said, this is really old school with like the Walkman and my headphones and the radio. And but I love the radio stations. I'm not one to do this recording of all these different songs, certain songs. I just like the radio and what they play, and I put my headphones on and rollerblade with Marley or you know, go for a walk.
And in terms of the walks that you do, because obviously where you live, I get the sense, and it sounds very enviable when, you know, when we've just come out of lockdown here, but it sounds as though you've had plenty of scope to go on some great adventures.
Yes, we have. Yes, we go on the beach every day practically, or to the park. And so that has really helped us during lockdown. Marley and I have been able to, you know, talk to people from a distance, and Marley won't let anybody, any dog go by without saying hi. And if they're really big, Marley has no fear of big dogs too. She has lots of friends that are very big, but one big dog stepped on her paw. So that was a little sore, but Marley came back to me and barked. And then bark for me to take her over to this big dog to say hi. So if Marley's a little shy, she will literally insist that I take her over to the big dog and we talk and will I hold Marley.
Yeah.
She likes to, you know, play with him.
But it sounds like a wonderful sort of like reciprocal relationship whereby obviously you're the owner of the dog, but it sounds as though the dog, this is what I find interesting, and maybe it's an analogy like with teachers and students or teachers and pupils, but you seem to be learning as much from Marley as Marley is going to be learning from you. And I find that so interesting with children as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Where Marley is, you know, always happy to see her friends and gets very excited. And then that, you know, then I build on that, you know, from Marley, you know, I'm all excited and enthusiastic about people. Well, I think I've always tried to be, but it encourages me too.
And do you find as well, because I've never really owned any pets, but when I'm with friends or colleagues, sometimes, and you know, you might be in a shop or a restaurant and somebody comes in with a dog, you know, then you know, they get really excited. And I always find it really interesting how it's no different to when I've been with my children at say a nursery, that you sometimes get to meet people and talk to people because you have a child, or in your case, there'll be a dog with you that you wouldn't ordinarily meet. And it's a wonderful icebreaker.
Oh, it is. Yes, absolutely. I remember a lady that we met, she had a beautiful home right on the beach and was very prominent. And she said to me, "Your dog is unusually pretty." And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm so happy Marley measured up, you yeah. know. And so Marley does have a very pretty, unusually pretty face. And of course, people are very drawn to beauty. And so wherever we go, Marley does grab attention. And Marley is more than happy to talk. She's really the most social. Of course, I'm biased, but she is extremely social yeah. with everybody.
And do you think that rubs off on you in any ways? You kind of feel more confident. I mean, how would you say, so when you're with Marley, do you find that that has an impact on the kind of connections and conversations that you're able to foster?
It does. It opens up more conversations for me. I've always been very chatty, very social. And that's what my friends will say. Well, we know who Marley belongs to, because it's yeah. definitely a reflection of you. You know, and so that's, and I've always raised Marley right from day one to be social with everybody. So it's turned out like yeah. just like I planned.
And yeah. and as we sort of get ready to start wrapping up, I thought it would be really, you know, one of the questions I always ask is about people's memories being positive, or, you know, if memories are not positive, you know, can you be nostalgic about negative experiences? But does the role of nostalgia, do you think, yes. play a role in your life?
I think when we brought, as far as the connection with the book, when I brought Marley home and for my dad, that was a very special moment to, you know, watch him with Marley. It brought happy memories of my childhood, and he was protective, like right from day one, right? He never stopped protecting. He still is watching over me.
Yeah.
And, but it brought the childhood memories of how, you know, he would be so protective. He was so protective of Marley, and just like when I was little.
And, absolutely. And
yeah, it really warmed my heart.
Did you ever keep a diary, for example, when you were young?
No, I didn't. No, but I would always write letters, yeah. you know, to my parents. I would write, you know, letters for them. And yeah.
And did you keep those? Because I've always love when I speak to my parents, discovering all these photographs or letters, you know, which have been preserved for all these decades. And
yes.
it's lovely looking back and sort of trying to pinpoint exactly where you were at a certain point, et cetera. In time.
Yes. Yeah, my mom keeps them, and my dad, they have them in there. Yeah. Their drawers and that, So that is nice.
Yeah, and I guess what another question I always ask when I'm doing these interviews is, you know, whether you've fulfilled the dreams you had when you were young. And I mean, so it's related to that, is this question about whether anyone sort of still entertains thoughts about doing something different with their life, you know, maybe the things that we dreamed about doing as a child or at university or whatever it may be. But do you kind of feel that you are doing the things now that you know, you couldn't have believed you were doing all those years before? Or what would your younger self have expected you to be doing now?
Yes, my younger self is doing exactly what I wanted to do. Because I always wanted to share that message of love and kindness with everyone, and that's Marley's message. So I'm definitely where I wanted to be.
No, that sounds so fulfilling. And friends, yeah. now, are you in touch with it sounds like you are, actually, with friends from your past?
Yes, I am. Yes, and they're all doing very well, and so. Yeah. Yeah. That makes me happy.
And do you find social media is able to help facilitate that? I don't know, during lockdown, whether you found yourself more inclined to, you know, sort of keep in contact with friends virtually that you couldn't see.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, because I have friends that I grew up with in Canada that are in the States now. My one friend has a flower business that she does flowers for weddings, and it's called Flora Lee. Her name is Lori, and it's Flora Lee. And yeah. She's really absolutely brilliant with flowers, and so yeah. I see the pictures of the weddings she's done the flowers for, and I enjoy keeping, you know, that connection.
No, because a few years ago, before I was ever on Facebook, for example, you know, I'd always think, you know, what are all these people that I grew up with? What are they doing now? And
yes.
And many of them I've now reacquainted with, and indeed sometimes I've had the pleasure of, you know, interviewing them for the podcast.
Oh,
but,
wow!
But you know, and it's remarkable because you know how it is sometimes when you're with somebody, when you know you grow up and you're when you're 11 or whatever years of age, and you're all, you know, nervous, you don't know what the future has in store,
right?
But then you suddenly find 30 years on, 40 years on, that right. You realize that you can see why you were attracted to them all those years ago. You can sort of, because yes. It's like you've been on this journey together. You may have gone different ways, right. You may have, you know, not kept in touch after school,
right?
But there's some sort of like common link, and often it might obviously right. because you're from the same city or you've got
right.
people in common. But do you have those sort of surprise moments of
yes,
people
yes, that you, I do. That you meet yes, yeah. yes, absolutely. From when I was a little child, and they, you know, my one friend is in Europe and doing very well. So it's neat to connect with her.
Yeah. And do you still write letters, or is that something that, you know?
Yes, I do. Yes, absolutely. I do put down my feelings for, you know, whoever I'm writing to. And and a lot of times Facebook is good for that, you know, for helping, you know, giving encouragement and love in comments and messages.
Yeah, because certainly, I mean, when I'm, you know, my parents who are not on the internet and don't use social media, you know, I don't write letters to them anymore so much. But you know, it's just interesting how sometimes the needs and the impulses we have don't change, but it's just that the technology or lack of, you know, is so, you know, whereas, as I say, 30 years ago, I'd have been writing letters. Now I would tend to communicate in a different sort of way. But it's important, I think, to ensure that whatever the format that you've, you know, you have a good way of, but in my case, maybe because I do collect all of these things, you know, I'm a big collector of letters and diaries and so on. But
it's
important to preserve them, I think.
And that's what I like about Facebook, that you have those messages that you always have. And I have dear, very close friends in Florida. So, you know, I like connecting with them and sharing my thoughts and supports and encouragement and love with them too.
And my very last question, Nicola, is, are you a looking back or a looking forward kind of person?
I think I always look forward to all the great things. I have an amazing, amazing support of friends that encourage me. And right here, you know, locally, I'm very grateful. You know, my one friend has children, and you know, they're always embracing me, and I always love visiting with them, and watching their dreams come true. And so I think there's always things to look to in the future, but also I love looking at the memories of my dad and I, and that encourages me.
That's a beautiful way on which to end. Nicola, it has been fantastic. You in obviously in Canada, me in England.
Yes, I love chatting with you.
And there's Marley. Well, there we are. See, Marley's been part of this story all the way through, and now right at the end, Marley's made.
That's right. Now she's making her debut. She doesn't miss out. Thank you. It's been an honor.